Clarkston kids and Lake Orion kids are the same kid. These guys play against each other from the time they're like 6 years old or whatever. And so they beat up on each other, you know, for all this time, and then they go off to college and they're roommates in college.
I think both communities are really pretty much replicas of each other. As much as they probably don't want to ever admit that, they really are. It's the same kid, same type of kid, same type of family in Lake Orion and in Clarkston.
But despite the similarities, a conference champion in the OAA Red could be determined Friday night when Clarkston travels to Lake Orion. And so when the whistle sounds, the friendships are on hold for a few hours. And that's a Duff Said. This is episode 32 of A Duff Said. I'm Duff Tyler. Thank you so much for hitting the play button on your favorite listening device of choice from wherever you listen to podcasts. And special thanks if you're listening to this on my new website, aduffsaid.com. It is one of the oldest rivalries in the Oakland Activities Association Red Division, Clarkston and Lake Orion. These are two communities roughly 12 miles apart that are getting together for a football showdown this Friday night on the Dragons' home turf. My guests this week are Clarkston head football coach Kurt Richardson, and making his second appearance on A Duff Said, it's Lake Orion head coach John Blackstock. Now, last season was not the kind of year we expect out of Clarkston. 2 years removed from their third state championship in 6 years, they missed the playoffs altogether. But last week, they improved to 3-0 this season by beating one of the top teams in the state of Michigan in West Bloomfield in overtime. Here to talk about that and so much more is a man that has been coaching the Wolves for the last 34 years. My conversation with Kurt Richardson starts now. I want to start by going back to last Friday night. You guys defeated a very good West Bloomfield team in overtime. Now, this was a team that you guys lost to in a blowout last season. So after you guys completed the comeback and got the win in overtime, what was the mood like?
Well, that was a huge game for us in a lot of ways. I mean, they're super talented, well coached. So, I mean, everybody, anytime you have a comeback victory, it seems to be a little bit better than a regular victory. The kids were ecstatic. The coaches were obviously all fired up. So it was a fun locker room, although you can't really have too much in the locker room because the kids got to stay apart and all that kind of stuff. But the spirits were high.
Your guys took the early lead in this game, but by halftime, you're down 14-7. And eventually, early in the third, you're down 21-7. What did you say to your guys at the break?
Oh, we told them that, you know, not to panic. We were fine. We were getting the opening kickoff, the second half. So no panic. Just keep doing, you know, doing what we need to do to win.
That's when your guys responded with a 16-play drive that ate up nearly the entire field and a lot of clock to get you guys a touchdown. Now, those are the kind of drives that win championships, and you know that better than anybody. So what adjustments did you guys have to make in order to make that drive happen?
Well, you're right. That was a huge drive for us. And the bad part about it, they scored and they kicked off to us and we fumbled the kickoff and kind of let it roll to the three and then hopped on. And it was like, okay, they just scored. Now we blew the kickoff. You know, we're in a hole, but the kids just bared down. We got a great offensive line that kind of took over and we hit some key third down situations that we won. And so, you know, those are the kind of drives that we need against a team like West Bloomfield. That's such a big play team. And that was our goal going in, eat up as much of the clock as we can, limit their possessions, and try to keep it a low-scoring game.
They are a big play team, and they're also a highly ranked team. And they've got prospects that are ranked pretty high in the country, and they were pretty much in the top five in a lot of polls in the state. So anytime you can put a drive together against a team like that, what did that do for your guys' confidence moving forward?
Well, the kids all of a sudden, you know, everybody, the sidelines perked up, everybody perked up, you know, and they felt like, okay, we're fine, nothing to worry about. And, you know, we started, I think, wearing them down, and our big kids up front kind of took over.
Now, speaking of big guys, you've got more than a couple on your offensive line, and the contributions you got from your O-line in that game last Friday were simply amazing. But then again, we've come to expect that, especially when you've got two seniors in Rocco Spindler and Garrett Dellinger. These are two highly touted D1 recruits. Rocco is headed to Notre Dame, and Garrett will be attending LSU next fall. What has it been like to coach these two over the last 4 years?
You know, the thing about coaching those two kids is obviously they're great football players just by the fact of where they're attending college. But they're even better people, and they're even better kids. They're just... It's been a pleasure and an honor to coach them. Probably the biggest thing this year has been their leadership has stepped up. They're leading us not just on the field but off the field. Again, it's just been a pleasure and an honor coaching those two guys and all my kids, really.
What was your first impression of them when you first saw these kids? Were they the size that they are now, or did they just grow into themselves?
No, they weren't nearly as big as they are now. They both thickened up a ton, and they've probably grown 2-3 inches since their freshman year. You know, they went from being boys as a freshman to, you know, men now.
And out of all the guys that you have coached, I know you said all your kids are special, but when you look at where these guys are in terms of just the size of how big these guys are and the impact that they've had on your program, where would you rank them among all the players that you've coached in the 45 years that you've been on the coaching staff at Clarkston?
Oh, they got to be right near the top. No doubt about it.
How would you rank these guys as individuals? Because I know you said they're good guys off the field. What is it about them that just gives them that good vibe when you're just around them, not just on the football field, but in the community as well?
Well, number one, they come from outstanding families. Rocco's got a great tradition with his family of all being successful. His older sisters have all done great things. Mark was in the NFL, played for the Lions. There's great things throughout the family. And the same thing with the Dellingers. The older son, Matt, played for us and then went on and played at Kent State and is now a Navy SEAL. The girls were volleyball players and played at the collegiate level. They both have great bloodlines of success and great bloodlines of being solid people.
What's it like to have those kind of individuals representing your program?
Well, I think, you know, they set the example for younger kids. I think they're two kids that, you know, our 7th and 8th graders, our 9th graders, our JV kids can look up to and say, hey, you know, I want to take some things out of his book and, you know, be successful too.
There's always going to be those kids that when they're coming in as freshmen, they've seen the guys that have come before them. They put on the rings and they've raised championship banners. And obviously those kids probably have those same dreams of being like a Garrett Dellinger or a Rocco Spindler. And so when they've seen what those guys can do and they want to be just like that, what are some things that you tell those guys that they have to have in their mindset first before they can even play it down for you?
Well, you know, Rocco and Dilly are super talented, no doubt about it. But I will also tell you this. They have the best work ethic on the team. They're in the weight room all the time. They double up on their workouts. We have a football tech class. They're in there, and then they go work out on their own. They're getting other kids. You know, they get the kids together. Hey, let's go work out, do stuff on the field. I think great players have the ability to make people around them, make players around them better. And I think both of them do that.
As a football coach, when you see what these guys bring onto the field for both your offensive and defensive lines, do you ever just take a second and just sit back in awe of what they're able to accomplish on both lines?
When I watch film, I do. There's time I just watch those two guys in film and stuff. Obviously, you know, during a game, I kind of can't do that. But, sometimes in film, I'll just watch those guys, and it's kind of fun.
Absolutely. I got a chance to see them for the first time this past Friday night. Your game against West Bloomfield was on Fox Sports Detroit, so I got to see them in action. And I'm sure that everybody on your team loved that exposure. But I got to tell you, the penetration that those guys got on the defensive line and the plays that they made to keep the quarterback upright, it's pretty impressive.
Yeah, they did a great job.
I want to talk about somebody else who had a huge impact for you on Friday night. That would be Ethan Clark. He had a huge game running the ball for you the other night, 106 yards on the ground and a score. Now, he also suffered an injury and had to leave the game Friday. How is he doing, and will he be available for you tomorrow night?
He's doing better. He's still wait-and-see mode. So hopefully, you know, I'll know in a couple hours here where he's at. But he did have a great game. He's had a great season for us. He broke out last year as a freshman about halfway through the season and came back to us this fall bigger and stronger. So has great vision, great zone runner. He's a great kid. Never says boo, just plays.
I know that probably had to be the toughest feeling for him to have to come out of that game the other night, especially with the impact he was having.
Yeah, he wanted to go back in, but he wasn't ready.
What's it like to know that you have a guy that young that was so determined to make an impact at such an early age for your program?
Well, again, you know, he's going to be a rock going deli for us for the next couple of years. And that he now becomes, you know, the kids that the young guys can look up to and say, hey, I want to be like Ethan Clark.
With this win, Coach, Clarkston is now 3-0, and you're tied for third in the Division I rankings. That matches your win total from a season ago. What has it been like to see the guys react to all the success that you've had up to this point when they come to practice each day?
Well, you know, last year was kind of it was one of those seasons where a lot of things went wrong that you can't have go wrong. I mean, we had a ton of injuries. Yeah, injuries are part of the game. I get that. But they were injuries to the kids that, you know, they're like our top five or six kids. I mean, it was just amazing. Weird, spooky. There was all sorts of feelings going around watching these kids drop, and they were all our leaders. So we were playing a lot of young kids. Well, you know, the advantages or the payoffs for playing all those young kids is they come back this year, they got experience, they feel more confident, and they're ready to go.
What were some of those lessons that they picked up along the way?
Number one, some of them were thrown in the varsity competition in the OAA Red, which is one of the best leagues in the state. And some of them got their butts kicked, and, you know, but they learned from that. They learned about adversity. You know, when you lose your leader, someone else has to step up. So those are probably the two biggest things.
We're talking with Clarkston head football coach Kurt Richardson. So what would you say is the biggest factor in turning this program around in such a short amount of time from where you were a year ago?
Just the work ethic of the kids and their attitudes. You know, we started out, okay, we're having a season. I mean, nobody knows what's going on with this COVID stuff. And, you know, we're not having a season during the summer. We are having a season. We're not having a season. But these kids have maintained great attitudes throughout it all. When they canceled the season and said, okay, you can have 16 practices, you know, a lot of schools probably just said, but we wanted to do some fun stuff with our kids and let them compete still. So we practiced, but it wasn't nearly like our practices now. And their attitudes were awesome. So then all of a sudden they're saying, okay, you're having a season. So, I mean, they picked up right where they left off.
Yeah, this has been a strange year for everybody, and yeah. It just keeps getting weirder with every passing day. So sure, when you got to tell the guys that, hey, guess what? We are going to have a season after all, what was their reaction?
Oh, they're all pumped up. I mean, they're, you know, at first they were like, you know, they started floating around, you know, how stuff goes now with social media and everything. And I don't know if everybody believed it. But then it got substantiated and, you know, and then everybody was ready to roll.
You're a Clarkston guy. You've been in the area your whole life, and you've been with this program as both an assistant and the head coach for a combined 45 years. And I think I saw somewhere where you're the longest tenured coach in Oakland County. What does that mean to you when people point that out to you?
Means I'm old.
That's a good way to put it, yeah.
I've been very, very lucky. Number one, to get the starter that I got from Rob White when he was the head coach here, and, you know, to have a lot of people in my corner when and to work with Walt Winnemko, and then to have a lot of people in my corner when the chance to become the head coach came about. And then I've had great assistants. I mean, you know, I think any head coach that builds a strong program, you have to have great assistants. And I'm not just talking about the varsity guys. I'm talking about the guys that do our ninth grade, the guys that do our seventh grade, and the system that we have built. There's a lot of people that have a lot of fingerprints on that.
What does it mean to you that you've been able to do all this in the town that you grew up in?
Just very thankful that I had the chance. And, you know, I love Clarkston. I love what it's all about. You know, the fact that it's a one school community is awesome. And we don't have to split allegiances and all that kind of stuff. But I feel very grateful, very, very lucky to have the opportunity.
What's it been like to just interact with this community and to see, like, little kids that are probably in the stands at a varsity game, or maybe even they come to practice, and you know that someday that's going to be one of your kids. You're going to be coaching that kid, and he saw what your guys were doing, and he wanted to be a part of that.
Yeah, we always run a summer camp for all of our little kids, and a lot of the seniors work that camp, and then we have a lot of the kids that come home from college work it and stuff. So that's always kind of like, you know, the real young guys get to see these guys, and they get to talk to them about their experiences and stuff. And, you know, the other great thing that we have is a lot of our former players come back here to coach.
What are some of your fondest memories being a part of this program, and not just the state championships, but the bonds that you built with them? What are some things that you're most fond of with your time in Clarkston?
I would say the success of our players outside of football. You know, we've got great kids, and so many of them have gone on and done great things in the community, or, you know, some were moved to some other city, but they're doing great things. I would say, you know, that's a big thing. The other great thing is the support we get. I mean, the merchants and, you know, all the people in the community, they'll bend over backwards for us. The support, you know, our fans are always, the stands are packed. And it's not a football team, it's a football program.
And you've coached that program to 3 state championships in the last 7 years. What did it take to build this program to be a championship-level team like what you've had this past decade?
It took some failures. There's no doubt about it. There's times that, you know, that we faced some adversity, some failures, things we learned from, you know, kind of the same philosophy we tell the kids is you learn from your failures and you get better because of them. Not that you want too many of them, but you learn from the past and get better. And so, you know, we had some things where we had to do better at. So we learned and moved on.
When the guys are ready to turn the page and move on from Clarkston football, what's something that you've taught them personally that you hope that they take with them?
Well, we ask our kids to live by 3 simple rules, and this isn't anything that I came up with. It's something that we got from Lou Holtz at Notre Dame, God, I don't know, in the 90s maybe before that. The first one was do the right thing. Whether you're, in the hallways, whether you're at some party on Saturday night, whether you're in a supermarket, just do the right thing. The second one is be the best you can be. Not everybody's going to be a starter, and not everybody's going to be a first teamer. But be the best you can be. I tell them about 1 year that we went through 6 kids that played right guard. Everybody that played that position got hurt. So if the third guy that got put in there didn't think about doing, you know, being the best he could be, then we have issues. And then the last one, probably the most important one with the way the world is today, is treat others like you would like to be treated.
That's perfect. I like that. That's a good example to set for these guys, because we live in a time right now, and you've touched on the social media aspect, where we got a lot of people right now that, you know, just don't seem to want to get along with one another. So how do you go about making sure that your guys are going about that the right way and making sure that they are treating people the way that we all want to be treated?
Well, we got a lot of eyes in the school, number one. We got a lot of teachers that are a lot of coaches that teach, and they know our expectations. So if they screw off in class, we know about it right away. We have a lot of people in the community that let us know, you know, hey, I saw Jimmy doing this and this was a great thing, or I saw Jimmy doing this and this was not something that I know you would expect. So we monitor the kids year round, and that's, you know, I tell them it's constant evaluation. It's not just when you play. It's not just when you practice. It's all the time. We're evaluating you all the time.
I want to touch base now on what's in front of you tomorrow night. You face Lake Orion at their house. Now, you have been a part of so many games in this rivalry with Lake Orion. What are some of the things you've enjoyed most about being a part of this rivalry with the Dragons?
You know, Clarkston kids and Lake Orion kids are the same kid. These guys play against each other from the time they're like 6 years old or whatever. And so they beat up on each other, you know, for all this time, and then they go off to college and they're roommates in college. I mean, I can tell you so many stories about Clarkston kids and Orion kids, and really they are the same kid. Great respect between their staff and our staff, you know. It's hugs and, you know, handshakes after the game. There's no animosity. It's just good high school football.
Speaking of that, what do you make of the turnaround that Coach Blackstock has had with the Dragons over the last year? They're actually looking to put together a second straight winning season. A few years ago, the chips were kind of down for them, but they've really turned things around. In fact, they won against you guys last year, and they snapped a 9-game losing streak against Clarkston last season. What do you make of the way they've turned things around?
They spanked us pretty good. You know, there's such a fine line between winning and losing in the OAA Red. you can be a very good team and not have a very good record. I mean, those years that they were struggling, they were still a good football team. And, you know, last year, coaches got them over the hump. And so they start believing it and they become stronger. So it's going to be fun Friday night.
What are some of the concerns and matchup problems that a Lake Orion would give your team?
You know, they're kind of the same way we are in the fact that they're balanced. They do a lot of good things. I think they're probably stronger defensively than offensively, but they're going to give us some issues.
Lastly, Coach, what would a win mean for you guys moving forward with the rest of your season?
Well, a win gets us at least a tie for the OAA Red Championship. So I think, you know, it's sometimes downplayed because everybody talks playoffs. But I have a huge respect for our league, and to win our league is a great honor. So, you know, with a win over them, we can at least have a share of it, depending on what we do in the last week against Oak Park. And then just to have bragging rights again.
And I wish you all the best in getting those bragging rights. Kurt Richardson, thank you so much for making the time this week on A Duff Said. I wish you all the best on Friday night. I'm hoping to maybe see you guys on the sidelines after tomorrow night's game.
That'd be great. I appreciate it.
Switching gears over to Lake Orion, the Dragons were 9-2 in 2019. And as Kurt Richardson said a few moments ago, they spanked Clarkston last year. But when it came time to start the 2020 season, they got dealt with 2020. Here to explain is Dragons head coach John Blackstock. You've had to juggle your schedule around quite a bit this season. You had to cancel your game with Oxford to start the year because you had members of your program that tested positive for the coronavirus. First off, how are those individuals doing?
Both of them are back and doing really well. They're great. You know, they had mild symptoms throughout all of it. So, you know, they were blessed and we were blessed that the things they dealt with were really on a pretty minimal level. Really, we were shut down that game for really precautionary reasons. We knew it was really contained into a small group. They're back and doing great.
What was it like to get that news? Because I know you guys were probably taking every precaution necessary to avoid that happening, and then you hear it. What goes through your mind when you hear something like that with somebody that you've been around for a number of years testing positive for a potentially harmful virus?
Yeah, well, you know, definitely a roller coaster, which I think everybody can relate with, of, you know, going from the high of being excited about playing a rival like Oxford and opening the season, which I think a lot of us probably felt a lot of different times wasn't going to happen. And then finding out that, you know, we've had two guys that I've been pretty close with for a long time test positive. And sure, there's definitely that concern and fear for their health and well-being. But, you know, through it all, like I had said earlier, they had experienced really mild symptoms. So, you know, the concern wasn't as great as a lot of people have experienced. But, you know, it's definitely a scary thing, you know, and it makes you wonder because we had followed all the protocols and still continue to follow protocols. You know, I think our kids have done an outstanding job of wearing the masks and dealing with the masks in a situation that's not always easy. You know, and they've really just taken to it and understand the importance of it so that we can play. And so when things like that do happen, if somebody does test positive, we've all taken precautions to safeguard ourselves and protect each other.
During that first week of practice, when you guys had that 1 week and then things were put on hold, I got a chance to talk to so many kids that I got to tell you, just listening to the way that they were going about their business, wearing the masks, doing the social distancing, doing everything they could. I mean, I talked to some guys that were saying, look, as soon as I get home from practice, I lock myself in the bedroom. I don't go near anyone else because I want a football season so bad. That's how much this means to me. In a lot of ways, I think the kids were being the adults and the adults were being the kids. What was it like for you guys to kind of adjust to that?
Yeah, you know, I would agree with you. I think our kids and a lot of kids around the state and country have really shown a lot of maturity in dealing with it. And, you know, they'll all admit that they don't want to wear the mask. They don't like it. It's not comfortable. But they want to play football, and they want to go back to school, and they want to be with their friends, you know, and they'll do the things that need to be done so that they can do those things.
And like we were saying, at first they were going to put the season on hold, and I'm sure that had to be a major bummer for you and the guys, especially with the season that you guys had last year. Obviously, you want to build on that success. So when they first got the news that it was going to be in the spring, how did your guys react to that, and what did you say to them to kind of keep their spirits up?
You know, our guys were disappointed, like a lot of kids all over the state and country. But I was really impressed with how they handled it. You know, I say they were disappointed, but they definitely weren't, you know, distraught or taking it too serious. You know, we talked to them. They were disappointed. We talked to them about, hey, this is a tough situation to go through, but it's definitely not the toughest thing you're going to go through in your life. There's going to be other parts of it, of losing a loved one, you know, maybe at some point losing a job. You know, that you're going to go through, and when you look back at it, this is one of those things that helps prepare you for dealing with that adversity.
And so then they announced the season is back on, and you guys are really excited. You got your rival Oxford on the schedule, but then, well, like you said, you had to cancel that game. What was the reaction at that point? How did you guys get through that?
You know, it's like riding a roller coaster. There's just been so many ups and downs through this thing for everybody since March 13th. How we got through it is, you know, a couple years ago we brought in a mental performance coach because I believe so strongly in, you know, mindset and having your mind in the right place to be able to perform, not only on the field, but also helping these guys through things that they're dealing with in their life off the field. And back in March, we saw the things that we had been working on for a couple years in terms of this mental performance really take hold in March when there was a concern of, you know, kids and mental health. Our guys did a great job of being able to open up and talk about things and using a technique that we call stay green, which really relates to the traffic lights of green, yellow, and red based on your mindset and your ability to perform because of that mindset. So, you know, having that background for the last couple of years, I think has really helped them deal with the ups and downs of this roller coaster ride of having practice canceled and the season postponed and then bringing the season back and then missing the first game. And then, you know, last week on a Thursday, walking out on the field, when I get a call at 3 o'clock that our game has been canceled and telling them at 4 o'clock, hey, we don't have a game right now, but we're going to practice because I'm pretty confident we'll find a game. I don't know who we'll play. I don't know when we'll play. I don't know where we'll play, but we're going to go to practice and get better. And their response was, good, let's go to practice. Find us a game. And they've done a great job showing a lot of maturity and a lot of mental strength in dealing with this ride.
You've used the word roller coaster quite a bit in this conversation. I think Cedar Point should sponsor your team at this point because you guys have definitely been on a number of different roller coasters this year. And so, like you said, you had to grab a U of D Jesuit on such a short amount of time. You only had like 24 hours to prepare for that. So even though the outcome was a 7-6 win in your guys' favor, how pleased were you to come away with that after all you had to do in order to make that happen?
You know, walking off the field, I guess as a coach and a competitor, you kind of have that feeling of, man, I don't know if we played real well. You know, we had 3 turnovers. We had a punt blocked. But then at the same time, I had to take to heart the words that I told our kids after the game that, hey, any win you can get at this level when you're playing teams like we play in the OAA Red or playing U of D Jesuit, who's a heck of a team, you got to enjoy every win you can get. And, you know, not even having 24 hours. You know, we really got that thing done about 8:30 or 9 o'clock on Thursday night. We traded 1 game film each, and then we're on the bus at 2:15 Friday afternoon heading down for a 5 o'clock game. So I think we learned a lot about ourselves also in that UAD game. We learned some things that we need to clean up and we need to fix. And again, a lot of people would look at the negatives in that game, but we found a way to turn a lot of those negatives into positives.
So take me through the process. What is it like to go from being having no game at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on a Thursday to, like you said, being on a bus at 2:15 the next day? What all had to happen in order for that game to happen?
Well, you know, our athletic director, Chris Bell, worked his tail off in terms of communicating with other schools, sending out messages to all the athletic directors around the state, working his own personal contacts through phone calls and text messages of asking if they knew of, you know, people that were in a similar situation of having an opponent have to cancel, or maybe they didn't have a game scheduled that week. And you know, I did the same thing. And, contacting head coaches around the state and around the area and just asking them to keep an ear to the ground. You know, honestly, we had contacted coaches that we know in Toledo and Columbus and Indianapolis and said, hey, we might be willing to travel down there if we can find a game. And, you know, through Chris's contacts from his early start in the Catholic League as a head coach down at St. Clement High School, we came up with the connection with UAD.
You had a lot of mistakes in that game, a lot of things that you guys obviously want to clean up. But even with all the hardships that you've endured in the span of just 3 weeks, you guys are 2-0, and you're riding a rather impressive winning streak. You've won 6 straight regular season games. Given what you guys went through a few years ago and the way you've turned this thing around, what's the mood like right now in Lake Orion?
You know, I think the mood is really, really businesslike. Sure, you know, people are excited about those things that you had mentioned, but our kids are really doing a great job of keeping it in perspective. And, you know, they're doing it because of a great coaching staff. You know, with our offensive coordinator, Brad Fisher, leading the offense, and our defensive coordinator, Rick Powell, leading the defense. Those guys continue to do a great job on each side of the ball with their kids and keeping them grounded. And sure, there's excitement, but these guys know that there's a lot of work to do and a lot of opportunity ahead of them in the next coming weeks. And I wouldn't say anybody's happy with where we're at.
When you talk about opportunities, you have got a great one this Friday night. Tomorrow night, you're at home against Clarkston. I'm sure you guys saw what they did last week against West Bloomfield with that overtime win that they put together against the Lakers. It doesn't get any bigger than a meeting with Clarkston, and you guys are lucky in that this is the game where you get to have even more fans in the stands for this game at your field. So what's it like right now in the Dragon locker room? How eager are you guys ready to kick this one off tomorrow night?
Well, you know, that obviously because of the situation, there is no locker room, right? Just kind of kidding there.
Metaphorically speaking.
But absolutely, we really literally don't even have a locker room. Kids come to practice dressed because we're doing remote learning. We're not back in school. So kids come to practice dressed and gear ready to go, and same thing for the game. But, I mean, I understand the question, you know, fully that, yeah, we're excited about the opportunity. And we definitely saw the West Bloomfield Clarkston game. You know, I don't think it gets any bigger than that. You know, I have a very close friend who coaches – Division II football here in the state of Michigan at one of the local colleges. And he was at that game, and I asked him what he thought. And he said, you know, I'll be honest, your team doesn't look like either one of those teams. And I said to him, you know, you coach Division II college football and your team doesn't look like either one of those teams. and he laughed and said, point taken, very true. So, you know, anytime we get to play Oxford, it's absolutely an experience that we look forward to and get excited about. But like I said, I think our kids have had a real workmanlike mentality. And, you know, they see opportunity. They see an opportunity to play a great football team in a great rival. And, you know, you pointed out we get to have more fans at the game, not as many as we'd like to have, because both communities support their programs and their schools as well as anyone in the state. So that place would be completely packed and rocking. But, you know, we're glad that we get to involve the band, glad we get to involve the dance team and, you know, those other groups that have really become accustomed to being at not just the football game, but the event that Lake Orion football games have become when we play at home.
Now, last season, you guys won this matchup with Clarkston rather handily, 55-21. That snapped a 9-game losing streak that Lake Orion had to Clarkston. How satisfying was it for the guys to finally snap that skid?
Yeah, you know, it's always satisfying when you, number one, get a win. Number two, when you beat one of your rivals. The streak was important, right? They've owned us. There's no doubt about it. They've done a great job. They've kicked their butt pretty good because of a great coaching staff and great players. But, you know, the thing that we kept reminding our kids last year, and I still continue to remind people that want to talk about that game, is that those kids weren't a part of those 9 years. You know, and half of our coaching staff wasn't a part of all of those 9 years. But, you know, complete hats off to Clarkston for what they've done, not only against us, but within the state. They're a phenomenal program and coached really well and great players that play together. So the win itself was satisfying just because it was a win, and it was a win against a great rival.
Now, obviously, that was a much different Clarkston team that you faced last season. They were 3-6, and they missed the playoffs. Sure. That's a rarity in Clarkston. And I was talking to Kurt Richardson earlier in the show, and he was talking about just how similar Clarkston and Lake Orion kids are. Yeah, it's a rivalry on the football field, and for a couple hours, you guys are rivals on the scoreboard and rivals on the field. But after the game, it just goes back to being like traditional friends that you've had all along in Clarkston and Lake Orion. What is that relationship between these two communities like?
Yeah, I would agree 100% with Kurt. I think both communities are really pretty much replicas of each other. As much as they probably don't want to ever admit that, they really are. It's the same kid, same type of kid, same type of family in Lake Orion and in Clarkston. You know, and I think it's always been a really respectable rivalry where, you know, I feel like Clarkston has helped us, you know, in the playoffs, and we've tried to help Clarkston as much as we can in the playoffs. And both staffs, I think, really respect each other, and I think our kids do too. They grow up from a really young age playing against each other in every sport, whether it's basketball or baseball or football. And, you know, they know each other well. I wouldn't say they hang out together or socialize a lot together, but Kurt's right. That's the same kid.
We're talking with Lake Orion head football coach John Blackstock. You guys obviously have an opportunity to make a name for yourselves and to get an opportunity to keep pace in the OAA Red if you were able to come out victorious in this game. What are some things that you guys are going to have to do in order to be successful against this Clarkston team?
Well, you know, you had pointed out last year that the season they had was a rarity, and I would say it's beyond a rarity. You know, that was just not normal what had happened last year in any sense of the word. To ever have a chance to beat Clarkston, you've got to number one, take care of the ball. You can't turn it over because they're not going to turn over the ball. Their turnover ratio over the decade or decades has to be amazing. You've got to play great fundamental football on all three phases of the game, offense, defense, and special teams. You're going to have to tackle well. You're going to have to block well. They do a great job of just managing the game. They're going to run the ball really well. But then I think sometimes people don't give their passing game enough credit. They might not throw it a ton, but every time they do throw it, it's effective. They move the chains. They manage the game really well, and they don't beat themselves. And that's where a lot of people, you know, us included, during that 9-year streak, they beat us for sure, but you can't make mistakes and have a chance against them.
Now, the Wolves come into this one with their two big studs, Rocco Spindler and Garrett Dillinger, two guys that are going on to major Division I football programs next year. How do you contend with guys of their size? Do you have anybody that kind of equals them on your line?
No, you know, we I don't know if we have anybody that equals them. When those two guys walk on the field kind of tilts one way, right? they are that big, they are that strong and powerful, and they're great players. Having watched them now for 4 years, it's been an interesting, you know, view from this side of the field, and I'm not going to lie, it'll be fun to see those guys go play at LSU and Notre Dame for a couple of reasons. You know, you always like to watch kids from your area or your league go play big-time college football, but it's also going to be nice to not watch them from across the field. You know, the other thing is there's not just those two guys, and that's what everybody focuses on. Their entire offensive line is phenomenal. You know, they've got another kid, Dellinger's little brother, who's got Power 5 offers. The Haas kid, I know he's going to be a Division II scholarship player somewhere, if not maybe a MAC-level player. And then they've got another kid, Foster, who's going to play college football somewhere. I don't know what level yet, but he's a great player himself. And then they got a tight end, you know, that's committed to Northern Illinois, and a junior quarterback with Central Michigan offers. So you can't you have to know where those guys are. You have to be prepared for those guys. But they've got so many other people on that team, and that's what makes them great, is a true team.
I was reading a preview in one of the Detroit newspapers that was talking about your guys' game tomorrow night, and it basically said it was the Clarkston with all their big-name stars versus the blue-collar Dragons. Now, you and I talked about this last year, that you may not have the Division I talent on your team, but you got guys who come to work ready to play, and they make the plays that are necessary in order for you guys to be successful. Who are some of the guys that you have this year that people need to keep an eye on in this matchup tomorrow night?
You know, I think obviously our offensive line is going to be a big part of our game and our season, and has been in the first two games. They don't have the size or the notoriety of the Clarkson offensive line, but they're a really solid high school offensive line. You know, guys like Daniel Babcock, who's a junior, and Trevor Witt, who's a junior for us. And we've got a couple seniors, and Henry Balicki and Sergio Figueroa, and another junior in Jonah Fix. So we're excited about those guys. We've got a kid, Mitch DeBrinkett, who's a tight end, wide receiver, defensive end that we really like. Cade Manzo is a skill player for us, plays safety and plays slot. He's got the ability to make big plays, and will be counted on. And we've got three or four running backs that all do some things well, and we like to get the ball to all of those guys.
What's it going to take for them to be successful and to get a W tomorrow night?
We've got to play great fundamental football. We've got to block well, we've got to tackle well, and you know, we've got to play together as a team. As you pointed out, and I think you were saying one of the newspapers pointed out, we do truly have a bunch of blue-collar, hard-working high school kids. And they know that not only last year, but this year, to be successful, they've got to play team football. And they've got to play not just with each other, but they play for each other. You know, and that's a fun thing to be a part of, you know.
And speaking of fun things to be a part of, you have got a 6-game regular season winning streak on the line. Clearly, you guys want to extend that to 7 with a win tomorrow night. What does it mean to you to have this program on the path that it's currently on?
What it means to me is it's a whole lot of hard work by a lot of people. And it's fun to be a part of that. You know, Chris Bell started it years ago in 1998 when he took over, and, you know, his 19 years as head coach really laying the foundation. And, you know, we had a couple of lean years there, and I don't know if it was really us being lean. I think a lot of teams in the league really rose, you know, in terms of the West Bloomfields with Ron being there. And Kurt has always had a great program over at Clarkston, and, you know, the Southfield program being what it is. So it's been fun to see a bunch of guys come together as a coaching staff and be supported by a great community, and then have great kids buy into what that coaching staff has been preaching.
He is John Blackstock, the head football coach at Lake Orion. The Dragons are at home tomorrow against conference rival Clarkston. We will have a recap of that game. Coach, looking forward to seeing you tomorrow night. Best of luck to you and the Dragons.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And that's a wrap on this edition of A Duff Said. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode, so be looking for that wherever you listen to podcasts or on my website, aduffsaid.com. Remember, you can find me on Facebook at Sports Journalist Duff Tyler, and you can follow me on Twitter at Duff Tyler. Until next time, this is Duff Tyler reminding you that if Duff said it, it must be true, because that's what A Duff Said.